In our last program, we talked about the protests that are going on across the UC system and across the public education sector in California, in response not only to budget cuts at the state level, but also the skewed priorities of administrators who are running these campuses in the direction of privatization. Specifically, we focused on the protests and the occupations at UCLA, UC Berkeley, and UC Davis on November 18th through the 20th, in conjunction with the Board of Regents' vote for the 32% fee hike, or tuition increase. This update is going to focus on one set of events that happened at UC Berkeley at the beginning of December. It seems to speak to a generalized shift in tactics at the level of the police, as well as at the level of the protesters. On November 20th, Wheeler Hall, a big building full of classrooms that's very centrally located on campus, was occupied by a group of about 40 people, including students, but not only students. Even though none of the demands of the occupiers were met in the end, we view this action as a success because it was able to mobilize thousands of people on campus who hadn't been mobilized before in ways that other actions had not been able to do. In order to follow up on the success of the Wheeler occupation, a second action was planned at the beginning of December. There's a week between the end of classes and the beginning of final exams that's commonly called Dead Week. Playing off this name and the interview that the UC president, Mark Udoff, gave with the New York Times, where he said that being the president of the UC is like being the manager of a cemetery, we decided to turn Dead Week into Live Week, bring it back to life. Again, Wheeler Hall was occupied, but this time, instead of barricading the doors were open. People could come and go as they pleased. Certain classrooms were occupied in order to turn them into effective spaces for whatever purpose, including organizing, teach-ins, knitting clubs, sleeping, music, whatever you wanted to do, that space was there. December 7th was the day that it started. Bob Meister, a professor at UC Santa Cruz, who's been very critical of the administration, gave a teach-in the first day. There were lots of people there. At some point, the police showed up and said that they were going to arrest people if they didn't leave. The police liaison said, okay, hold on, we're going to talk about it and discuss this. And after discussion, there was a consensus that people were not going to leave the building. And so they told the police, and the police had to back down. They didn't want to arrest people. And at some point, there was basically established a tacit agreement that the students who were in Wheeler Hall would be able to stay there throughout the week, through Friday. There were negotiations that happened with the administration even, and the administration seems to suggest that people would be able to be there through Friday. And so the building was occupied, renamed Freeler Hall, and this continued throughout the whole week. Until Friday morning at 4:30 in the morning, the police decided to bust in without giving a dispersal order, which goes against the official crowd management policy of the UCPD at Berkeley. The crowd management policy states on page 11, when it becomes necessary to make arrests of numerous individuals over a relatively short period of time, the overall commander should ensure that, and then there's a list of bullet points. The third bullet point states, the proper dispersal order is read, outlining the unlawful assembly and other committed violations and the dispersal route. That was not done. The police came in at 4:30 in the morning and arrested 66 people who were inside. Instead of citing and releasing them, they took them to Santa Rita Jail. Now keep in mind, this is the weekend before final exams and that many students were actually in Wheeler studying for their final exams. The police confiscated notebooks and laptop computers, for example, totally screwing up these students' plans to study. Now, the official statement of the university said that the reason they were doing this, the reason they had to bust in at 4:30 in the morning and arrest these people on the last day, even though there was sort of this understanding that they would be able to go till the end of Friday, was that the people inside had publicized that they were going to throw a concert on Friday night with Boots Riley from The Coup. They said that this was an unauthorized concert, and because it was an unauthorized concert, they had to go in and stop it, shut it down. So that's the official line. However, the Student Advocates Office, which is an official institution on UC Berkeley campus as part of the ASUC or the student government, released an official statement a couple days later where they argue that this justification is not only false, but demonstrates that the administration is negotiating in bad faith. I'm going to read a quote from their report. They said that the UC spokesperson, Dan Mogiloff, stated that arrests were made, and this is Mogiloff's quote, once the group refused to reconsider plans to hold an unauthorized all-night concert in an academic building. However, when members of the SAO, that's the Student Advocates Office, met with the Dean of Students, Jonathan Poulard, out of concern for the arrested students, he provided reasons for the arrest that were not in line with the university's public statements. Dean Poulard acknowledged that the university's call for police intervention was not initially linked to the concert, but rather had been discussed earlier that week before the concert was publicized. His statements indicated that the arrests would have been made earlier in the week, but the university feared that the students would reoccupy campus buildings upon their release. This risk meant that the arrests at the beginning of the occupation would be more costly to the university. Considering that the arrests were discussed prior to the administrative knowledge of the concert, the SAO believes that the actions taken by the university were disingenuous. We believe the campus should be made aware of this discrepancy. The prior discussion of the arrest calls into question the validity of the administration's attempts to communicate with student organizers. Throughout the duration of the Open University, there was an understanding between the administration and the protesters that they would be allowed to stay inside Wheeler until Friday evening. At the same time, university officials were engaged in a dialogue to plan the arrest of the protesters. The intentions of the administration must be called into question. The efforts to negotiate with the protesters were conducted in bad faith, leading students to believe that there was room for collaboration and communication when the administration had intended to move forward with the police all along. The lack of an immediate dispersal warning was unfair and could have seriously jeopardized particularly vulnerable groups of students. The university had warned individuals in Wheeler Hall of legal and student code conduct violations for 4 nights without taking any measures to enforce those warnings until the arrest that Friday. The routine nature of those warnings gave many students the false impression that their actions were an acceptable form of protest that was tolerated by the administration. The tacit agreement led many students to participate in the events who would otherwise have avoided Wheeler Hall had they anticipated the risk of severe punishment. The routine warning was administered at roughly 10 p.m. Thursday, with a 6 to 7 hour gap before the arrests were made at 4:30 a.m. the following morning. This large span of time between the last warning and the arrest ignores the possibility that some of the students present at 4:30 a.m. had not heard the warning. While the university states that its primary concern was preventing any disruption, it is unreasonable to assume that the students present in Wheeler Hall at 4:30 a.m. would be the same attendees at the concert that was scheduled for 8 p.m. or involved in its planning. A significant number of students came to Wheeler Hall primarily to study, and most were asleep at the time of the arrest. The drastic shift from treating students as peaceful protesters for 4 days to hostile occupiers on the 5th was unnecessary and shows a disregard for student well-being. Beyond creating a criminal record for these students, the administration's actions will also result in university conduct records that will have negative implications on the students' academic careers. Further, by not giving an immediate dispersal warning, the university failed to assess the danger that their actions posed for any AB 540 or international students on the site. Legal charges against any student under either category could have put these students at risk of deportation. Administrators did not take into account these potentially severe consequences. Again, this is all from the official report of the Student Advocates Office, an official body on UC Berkeley campus as part of student government and manages all this sort of student dispute issues. They clearly show that the university administration was negotiating in bad faith and that they really are adversarial towards all student protests, however much they say they aren't. Anyway, they shut this down because of the concert, supposedly because of the concert. Protesters wanted to still have the concert, so the concert was rescheduled because they locked down Wheeler Hall after they took everybody out. The concert was rescheduled at a student co-op. Happens that night, Friday night. Afterwards, something happens. Not too many people are really sure exactly what happened, but you know, somewhere between 40 and 70 people apparently marched to the chancellor's house to protest. There was some property damage. A planter pot was broken and a light bulb was broken. This all lasted a very, very short time. And the police showed up and everybody ran away, and the police just grabbed 8 people at random, the only people they could get their hands on, including a journalist with a press pass. And they charged them with 6 felonies: rioting, threatening an educational official, attempted burglary, attempted arson, felony vandalism, and assault with a deadly weapon on a police officer. Their bails were set at about $130,000 each. Governor Schwarzenegger issued a statement in which he said, I'm going to read the statement: "California will not tolerate any type of terrorism against any leaders, including educators. The attack on Chancellor Bergeron's home is a criminal act, and those who participated will be prosecuted under the fullest extent of the law. Debate is the foundation of democracy, and I encourage protesters to find peaceful and productive ways to express their opinions." That was the governor's statement on the march to the UC Chancellor's house. It's the first time he said anything about any of the protests, so it clearly got his attention. The terrorism claim, is obviously completely absurd. Also, the suggestion that these people are going to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, well, it turns out these 8 people who were arrested kept in Santa Rita jail all weekend. On Monday and Tuesday, they had their different sort of arraignments, and the DA filed no charges against anybody. There's absolutely zero evidence that people were grabbed at random. You know, again, one of them was a journalist. There's no evidence of anything. No charges were filed against them. $130,000 bail. They're called terrorists. It's completely absurd, and it suggests that the UC administration, which has been complaining about the state government, they've been saying, let's march on Sacramento, all of us together. You know, they're trying to dodge the blame. Now they're explicitly working together with the state government. They're explicitly in cahoots with the state government to shut down the kind of protests that actually have an effect, that actually mobilize people, that actually have the right targets in mind. So no charges filed. All eight people were let go. Still problematic because obviously a lot of these people spent, you know, several nights in jail. One Berkeley student, undergraduate, put up the $13,000 to pay a bail bondsman to get him out of jail. $13,000, turns out there's no charges. It seems like a campaign of police intimidation. At the courthouse, the lawyer made this statement.
So what happened in court today, there were eight people on for felony cases. There were felony arrests from Friday night. These arrests occurred after there was arrests earlier that morning. What we know is that there were 60 to 65 people arrested at Wheeler Hall in the morning, right? In response to that demonstration, there were demonstrations later that night, and there were eight people arrested on serious felony charges. What happened, those folks had court today, and at this point, the district attorney has decided not to charge people. So those folks do not face charges. And they should be released later tonight. All right, I want to give people a situation of what's happened with other demonstrations around this student uprising and the coalition of supporters fighting for public education.
Yeah.
All right? There was demonstrations in November. There was mass arrests in November. All those folks were cited and released. They have court dates coming up next week. All right, so for folks who were arrested at Wheeler Hall in November, we'll be back here in court next week, hopefully arguing for the same thing, which is no charges for anybody.
Yeah.
And those are going to start on Monday next week. There was 51 people arrested at UC Davis at the same time in November. We are also tracking those cases. All those people were cited and released. There were numerous arrests last week at San Francisco State as well. So all of these cases we are going to be tracking. We're going to be doing what we hope you are doing, which is demanding that they drop all the charges against people who have been fighting for public education. And in addition to asking that people demand that they drop these charges, we're also demanding that they do not have any academic disciplinary proceedings. There should be amnesty for folks and for students. They shouldn't suffer any consequences for their alleged presence at demonstrations for public education. And that's all I have. Thank you guys so much for being here. The support is incredibly helpful and useful for making sure that we get the result that we got today. Thank you guys so much.
Done.
Now, to conclude, this has actually brought up a lot of interesting questions about whether this was an okay thing to do, sort of theoretical discussion about tactics. These questions are very much in line with the kinds of questions that, you know, we could talk about the Zapatistas. What's the role of nonviolence in the Zapatista movement? Obviously, the situation is different here than it is in Chiapas, but some of the theoretical questions are the same. We'll be talking about this more next month, but for now, just keep this in mind. The state and the UC administration are trying as hard as they can to squash any kind of student protest that doesn't consist of letter writing.
This is for my fuckers, check 1, 2. This is for my fuckers, never live like a hoe. Me and you, toe to toe, I got love for the underdog. This is for my fuckers who got bills. This is for my fuckers, check 1, 2. This is for my fuckers, never live like a hoe. Me and you, toe to toe, I got love for the underdog. I raise this glass for the ones who die meaninglessly, and the newborns who get fed intravenously. Somebody's mama called a job and a welfare fraud case. When she breathes, she swear it feel like plastic wrap around her face. Lights turned off, and this the third month, the rent is late. Thoughts of being homeless, crying till you hyperventilate. Despair permeates the air and sets in your head. The kids play with that one toy they learned how to share. Coming home don't ever seem to be a celebration. Bills stay piled up on the coffee table like they decoration. Heaping spoons of peanut butter, big ass glass of water make the hunger subside. Save the real food for your daughter. You feel like swinging haymakers at a moving truck. You feel like laughing so it seems like you don't give a fuck. You feel like getting so high you'll smoke the whole damn crop. You feel like crying but you think that you might never stop. Homes with no heat stiff in your joint like arthritis. If this was fiction, it'd be easier to write this. Some folks try to front like they so above you. They tear this motherfucker up if they really loved you. And so would
this
you.
This is for my fuckers who got bills. This is for my fuckers, I'm check 1, 2. This is for my fuckers, never live like a hog. Me and you toe to toe, I got love for the underdog. This is for my fuckers who got bills over. This is for my folkers, I'm check 1, 2. This is for my folkers, never live like a hog. Me and you, toe to toe, I got love for the underdog.
There's certain tricks of the trade to try to halt your defeat. Like taking Tupperware to win all you can eat. Returning used shit for new, saying you lost your receipt. And writing four-figure checks when your accounts deplete. Then all your problems pile up about a mile up. Thinking about a partner you could dial up to help you out this foul stuff. Whole family sleeping on the futon while you clipping coupons. Eating salad trying to get full off the crouton. Cross town, the situation is identical. Somebody getting strangled by the system and its tentacles. Misconceptions raise questions to be solved. Lot of D-boys is broke, lot of homeless got jobs. You could make 8 bones an hour till you pass out and still be ass out. Most pyramid schemes don't let you cash out. They say this generation make the harmony break. But crime rise consistent with the poverty rate. You take the workers from jobs, you gon' have murders and mobs. A gang of preachers screaming sermons over murmurs and sobs. Saying pray for a change from the Lord above you. They tear this motherfucker up if they really loved you. And so would
this
you.
This is for my folkers who got bills overdue. This is for my folkers, I'm check 1, 2. This is for my folkers, never live like a hoe. Me and you, toe to toe, I got love for the underdog. This is for my folkers who got bills overdue. This is for my folkers, I'm check 1, 2. This is for my folkers, never live like a hog. Me and you, toe to toe, I got love for the underdog.
You like this song cause it's relatable. It's you in the rhyme. We go to stores that only let us in 2 at a time. We live in places where it costs to get your check cashed. Arguments about money usually drown out the tech blast. Work 6 days and we can't sleep Saturdays though. Muscle trembling like a pager when the battery's low. And you just don't know where the years went. Although every long shift feel like a year spent. And you could write your resume, but it wouldn't even mention all the life lessons learned during 6 years of detention. Or how you learned the police was just some handicappers on the ground next to broken glass and candy wrappers. Now don't accept my collects on the phone. Just hit me at the house so I know I ain't alone. And we could chop it up about this messed up system. Homies that's been killed, how we always gon' miss them. It's almost impossible surviving on this fraction. Sip a 40 to the brain for the chemical reaction. You gotta hustle cause they trying to push and shove you. I tear this motherfucker up since I really love you. And so
this is for my folkers who got bills. This is for my folkers, check 1, 2. This is for my folkers, never live like a hog. Me and you, toe to toe, I got love for the underdog. This is for my folkers who got bills overdue. This is for my folkers, check 1, 2. This is for my folkers, never live like a hog. Me and you, toe to toe, I got love for the underdog.
What's going on tonight? I ain't got no money.